This morning, Father, we just come to you, Lord, with grateful hearts in Jesus' name. Father, we come before you, Lord God, this morning as your children. We come before you, Lord, as those that are called by your name, washed in your blood, Lord, surrendered, Father, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Father, this morning, Lord, as we come before you as your people, Lord, we come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing, Father, that you hear our prayers. Lord, knowing that you hear, Lord, the petitions of our heart. Knowing, Lord God, that you are in control of every situation. And Father, that you have those that are called by your name. Lord, you have them, Lord God, and you are taking care of every need, every concern, Lord God, as you lead your people through this world. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this life, though it be a wilderness experience, Father, that you are with us every step of the way. And so, Lord, right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do bind every demonic hindrance. We do bind every assignment of the devil. And in Jesus' name, we cast it out, Father. Lord, we proclaim your freedom, Father God, in the lives and the hearts of everyone that knows you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, Father, that this place would just rest with your peace, Father. Lord, we leave every care and every concern at the side. And Lord, we just rest in you, Father. You said your peace you give unto us. And so we receive that at this time. And Lord God, right now in Jesus' name, I acknowledge openly that, Father, there's nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And to that Spirit I yield. And Father, we pray, Lord God, right now, Lord, that that Spirit would, that leads and guides us into all truth, would completely and totally have your way. And Father, I get out of the way, Lord God, and I invite that flow in Jesus' name as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Always, always, always good to come together in the name of Jesus. Because, you know, we have a hope that the world will never know. You know, sometimes we take it for granted because we've gotten so accustomed to it. We've gotten accustomed to calling on the Lord and He answers us. We've gotten accustomed to when we're in a troubled spot or in a bad situation and you reach out to God and He always grabs you and catches you, and we've gotten so accustomed and used to this now. Now, this is a benefit of being a child of God. But realize that the world does not have this hope. The world does not have this answer. It's stuck fending for itself. It's stuck trying to solve its own situations. And when things get bad, it has absolutely no answers. See, when things are good, it's very easy for people to talk and for the children of God to be sidelined, for sure. But when things get bad, that's when you truly see miraculous things happening. So throughout the world, the true church of the living God flourishes in persecution. It flourishes in difficult times. And too often when the people of God are well taken care of and grow fat and unconcerned, they lose their focus and their direction, and it takes almost a big shot slap across the face before they wake up again. So too often people that are God's people get distracted in a time of abundance. So realize that every situation, every circumstance, everything that we go through as God's people in the earth, if you're in step with God, you are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing.
ඉතින් අපි තේරුම් අරගන්න ඕනේ මේ ලෝකයේ මේ අකෝම අවස්ථාවන් තුළින් අපි යන වෙලාවට අපි දෙවියන් වහන්සේ තුළ හරි වෙලාවේ හරි ස්ථානයේ අපි හරි දේ කරමින් සිටිනවා කියන එක අපි අවබෝධ කරගන්න
ඕනේ. And so often what's happened is, and this is again something that we have to break this mindset because we've been programmed this way. But too often when something difficult comes our way, people try to pray it away. Anything uncomfortable, anything difficult, we just want to pray it away and spend our lives in Candyland. But throughout the scriptures, God, I see where God deliberately, purposefully sends His people into very difficult, trying situations. The mind of man wants out, God wants you to learn to go through. He wants to teach you to go through the storm. He wants to teach you to go through the dungeon. Through the dungeon, through the prison. What does the psalm say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not yea, though I walk out of the shadow of the valley of death, God takes you through. And why are you going through? Because you are following the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God, and as you're following His voice, He is taking you through and He's leading you through a very perilous situation, but He's in control. So learn to embrace what God is doing. So just out of curiosity, how many of you are watching the global news these days? I know we have many, many problems and situations in Sri Lanka, but how many of you are checking what's happening in the world around you? If you're checking, if you're watching at all, you're seeing that the system of man is failing very, very fast right now. And the world that you live in right now is very different than it was 3 months ago. And the world that you live in 6 months from now will be extremely different than the world you're in right now. So change is happening around the world. So, but the people of God, we're fine with anything like that because we know the hope that we have and we have put our trust in one that does not change. I'll tell you this very plainly, man does not have a solution for any one of the world's problems ever, anywhere. And there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death, Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16. So every solution that man comes up with apart from the Spirit of God will only lead to death and destruction in the natural and in the spiritual. Okay, so realize that, be aware of that. Okay, John chapter 3.
යොහාන් 3 වෙනි පරිච්ඡේදය.
Okay, John chapter 3 and verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest not the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." 3.
පහේ අරිඳලාට වෙනකන් යේසුස් වහන්සේ උත්තර දෙමින් සැබවක් සැබවක් නුඹට කියමි යමෙක් වතුරින් ආත්මයන්ගෙන්ද නූපන්නොත් ඔහුට දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ රාජ්‍යයට ඇතුල් වෙන්න බැරිය මාංශයෙන් උපදින දේ මාංශය ආත්මයන්ගෙන් උපදින දේ ආත්මය නුඹලා අලුතෙන් උපදින්න ඕනෑයයි මා කීවාට සිදුක නොවන්න තුනක කැමති කැමති තැනට ගසයි ඒ ශබ්දය නුඹට ඇසේ නමුත් කොතනින් එන්නේද කියාවත් කොතනට යන්නේද කියාවත් නුඹ දන්නේ නැත ආත්මයන්ගෙන් උපදින
Okay. There's many different angles that we can talk about this on today, but one I want to spend a little time focusing on. Now the people of God are like the wind, yes? So Jesus calls those born of the Spirit of God like the wind. Now what's the wind like? Can you capture the wind? Can you hold the wind? No, you can't. You can try. But you really can't do that. The wind is something that is formless. It has no form. But you can definitely see the effects of the wind. The wind can refresh. You've seen the typhoons, the wind can destroy. The winds can create power for a whole city if you've seen how they harvest the wind. So wind is an incredible thing, but yet you can't in your hand grasp the wind. So the people of God, Jesus said, they're like the wind. Okay. How does it work for the people of God to be like the wind in relationship to the provision of God? I just want to focus on that today. See, the whole scriptures is interconnected. So one thing will lead to the next thing will lead to the next, and that's why when you read the scriptures, it can be very, very exciting because God will just show you, oh, and you go back to this other one, and it all bridges together for what's going on right now. Okay, flip back to Matthew really quick. Matthew chapter 6. With regards to God's provision, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
කෑමට වඩා ජීවිතයද ඇඳුමට වඩා ශරීරයද උතුම් නොවේද? ආකාශයේ පක්ෂීන් බලන්න. උන් වකුරන්නේවත් කපා ගන්නේවත් අටුවල රැස් කර ගන්නේවත් නැත. උබලාගේ ස්වර්ගීය පියාණන් වහන්සේද උන් පෝෂණය කරන සේක. උබලා උන්ට වඩා බොහෝ වටිනවා නොවේද? කනස්සල් වීමෙන් තමාගේ උසට එක රියනක් එක්කර ගන්න නුඹලා අතරින් කවරෙකුට පුළුවන්ද? උබලා ඇඳුම්ගෙන මොහොත් නිසා කනස්සල් වන්න උට. එසේ මානේ පැහැදිලි කල්පනා කරන්න. ඒවා වෙහෙසින්
Okay, so before God talks about provision, he talks about two masters. Now man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And if you keep reading, you can also see many come to him on that day and say, Lord, Lord. So there's many people that say they have the heart for God, but God knows. So you're not fooling God. And it's really a waste of time to try to fool other people. So be real and authentic about where you are. Save yourself some time. Okay, so God speaks first about two masters. Now the people of God are like the wind. What are the people that serve mammon like? If you have two kingdoms, which we've talked a lot about, what are the people of the world, what are the people of mammon like? Okay, if it's a world of opposites, if God's people are like the wind, the people of the world would be like the concrete. They would be like the pyramid. So when the people of God are free and floating and moving with the Spirit of God, They would be stuck and rigid and unable to move no matter what stuck in their system. So they would be some of the most structurally bound people in the world. They'd be stuck in their system. The people of the world, people of the world. So now the issue then comes with, okay, God's provision. Because God also said, seek first the kingdom and I'll take care of your needs. Now if God takes care of the needs of His people, the needs of His people would take place and be taken care of for those that are in step with the Spirit of God. So the provision of God is where God is. So if you are one of the five, if you are out hearing the teachings of Jesus when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus all the women and children, though it was a desolate place, the provision of God was there. So counterintuitive, counterthinking. So, but the world and the people of the world are very much like concrete. Now, I want to make a point here. Okay, the Spirit of God is formless. The people of God are formless like the wind. Yes? And many, many times what's happened is the natural thinking that we have is people want to build monuments where God is doing a movement. People want to build a monument where God is doing a movement. Okay, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Where Peter said, God, it's great for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. He wanted to build a structure to try to capture the experience of God. Did God let him do that? No, because Jesus was going to keep moving from that place. If Peter had built a structure there, it would be an empty structure because Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So he could have built something there, but Jesus wouldn't be there anymore. He'd just have an empty structure. So the people of God are those that have also learned to flow with the Spirit of God with what He's doing. And the things that we do are under the direction of the Spirit of God. So if we put a form, if we put a structure, it's because God says, put a form and put a structure. You remember Noah? Very, very powerful example of God saying, put a form, put a structure. I think it took him 100 years to put the ark together, didn't it? No, to build the ark it took 100 years over.
Yeah.
And the whole time everybody was laughing at him. But he put together a structure, right? Okay, after the flood was over, did they all stay inside the boat? Because God told me to build the boat, yes? I know I heard the voice of God. God said, build the boat. And God said, get inside the boat. Did they stay in the boat forever and ever? No. The boat was for a period of time. And there's a point in time where they said, okay, flood's done, get out of the boat. You could have stayed in there and died in the boat. And the very thing that God intended to be the blessing would have turned into one big coffin. So the people of God are those that have learned to flow with the Spirit of God. Okay, flip back to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. There are many large coffins all over the world this day. Exodus chapter 16. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel, which came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Okay.
එකේ සිට හතර දක්වා ඔහු පසු ඔහු ඔලිවෙහි සිට ගමන් ගත්වය. තවද ඔවුන් මිසර දේශයේ නික්ම ගියාවෙන් පසු දෙවෙනි මාසයේ 15 වැනි දිනදී ඊශ්‍රායෙල්ගේ පුත්‍රයන්ගේ මුළු සභාව ඒලීම් සහ සීනාය අතරේ වූ සීන් නම් වනාන්තරයට පැමිණුණහ. ඊශ්‍රායෙල් පුත්‍රයන්ගේ මුළු සභාව වනාන්තරයේදී මෝසස් සහ ආරෝන්ට විරුද්ධව හඳුනෝය. ඊශ්‍රායෙල් පුත්‍රයෝ ඔවුන්ට කතා කොට මිසර දේශයේදී මස් පාජන ළඟින්ද සෑහෙන පමණ කෑම කෑවිට ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේගේ අතින් අපි නැසෙමුණුවන්නම් යහපත. මක් නිසාද මේ මුළු සමූහය ශ්‍රද්ධාවෙන් මරවන පිණිස නුඹලා අප මේ වනාන්තරයට ගෙනාවෝ යයි කීවෝය.
Okay. Think for a moment, what had they come through as a people? Roshan said the Exodus. Okay, along with that, think about the miracles of God that they had seen. They had seen all of the plagues that came upon Egypt. They had witnessed the Passover. Where literally God, the angel of death, went from house to house, and the houses with the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost were spared, and the houses without it, the firstborn would die. Where death would visit the house of anyone without the blood of the Lamb on it. We're living in a similar time today. Death is visiting the house of everyone without the blood of the Lamb on it.
Yeah.
What else did they see? They seen the Red Sea. They had seen a point where they had been surrounded on every side, water on one side, the armies of Egypt coming on them on the other side. And on one side, God blocks with a wall of fire to keep the Egyptians from getting close. And on the other side, He splits the water so they can walk across. How long does it take for them to forget? It's right there. How long? On the 15th day of the second month, after they're departing out of the land of Egypt. So month number 2, 15 days into it. All those miracles, all of that, it didn't take very long when they started to get hungry. As soon as they started to get hungry, where is God? Oh yes, people's faith. As soon as the need starts to press into my own life and I feel it in my own stomach, now where is God? And in fact, in verse 3, they say, boy, it would have been better for us to die in the world with something to eat. The word that they say is, we would have rather died in the system of the world with something to eat than to be here in this place where God has us. Does that sound a little bit like Esau? Jacob and Esau? Where Esau came back and he said, and he was hungry, and Jacob, he sold his birthright. So thank God that God is merciful with His people. Thank God that Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. Had Moses not stood in the gap for the children of Israel, God would have wiped them all off the face of the earth several times. And we've all been in a progression as well. As you walk with the Spirit of God, we've had moments like this too. But God has built in us trust, built in us faith. Over time, you've learned. So we now too remember the promises of God. We now too can look back 27 years here and see God's hand and God's miraculous power sustaining His people. Okay. Let's keep going from here. Verse 4 says, and then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall not go out and gather a certain rate every day, as I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even that ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmuring against the Lord. And what are we that we murmur, that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmuring, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmuring. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather it of every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more or some less. And when they did meet with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that in the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for the one man. And all the rulers of their congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest, the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see it, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. No man go out for his place out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it, and to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord, and it to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to lay it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came into the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of a part of ephah. Sorry, I wanted to go through all of that. You go for it. Because there's a lot in there.
Moses අපේක්ෂා කරන පිණිස ස්වර්ගයේ මුදලාවකට ආහාර වස්වන්නේ නෙමෙයි. සෙනෙක පිටත බොහෝ දවසකට සෑහෙන ප්‍රමාණය දවස්පතා රැස් කර ගනිත්වා. සමහර සත්විඳාම් සේදී ඔවුන්ගේ විසින්දේ සූදානම් කරත්වා. ඒ ඔවුන් දවස්පතා රැස් කර ගන්නා ප්‍රමාණය ලෙස දෙගුණයක් වන්නේ යැයි කිසේ. මොසෙස්ට ආරෝද සියලු ඉස්රායෙල් පුත්‍රයන්ට කතා කොට මුගලා මිත්‍ර දේශයෙන් ගෙනාවේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ බව සවස දැනගන්න උදේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේගේ තේජස් දකින්න ඕනේ. පාකිස්තාන ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට විරුද්ධව නුඹලාගේ කෙඳිරි මුන් වහන්සේට ඇසේ. නුඹලා අපිට විරුද්ධව කොන්දරන්ට අපි කවුරු දැයි කිව්වෝ. මොසෙස් මෙසේ වන්නේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ සවස නුඹලාට කන පිණිස මාන්සද උදේ සෑහෙන තරම් ආහාර දෙන්නේ. මාකිසාද නුඹලා ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට විරුද්ධව කොන්දර නුඹලාගේ කෙඳිරි මුන් වහන්සේට ඇසේ. අපි කවුරුද නුඹලාගේ කෙඳිරි අපිට විරුද්ධව නුඹ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට විරුද්ධව යැයි කිව්වේ. සවස මොසෙස් සාරුන්ට කතා කොට ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ නුඹලාගේ කෙඳිරි ඇසුනේ උන්වහන්සේ ඉදිරියට ලං වෙලා යයි ඉස්රායිල් පුත්‍රයන්ගේ මුල් සභාවට පියාපන්නේ කියේ. ආරොන් ඉස්රායිල් පුත්‍රයන්ගේ මුල් සභාවට කතා කර කන්දී ඔවුන් වනාන්තරයේ සිට බැලුවේ. බලව ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේගේ තේජස වලාකුලෙන් පෙනුනේ. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ මොසෙස්ට කතා කොට මම ඉස්රායිල් පුත්‍රයන්ගේ කෙඳිරි වෙතුනි. නුඹලා සවස මාංශ කන්නේ උදේ රොටි වලින් තෘප්තියට පැමිණෙන මම නුඹලාගේ දෙවිවරු ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ බව නුඹලා දැනගන්නු කියයි ඔවුන්ට කියාවයි කීසේ. ඒ හැටියට සවස වටු අවුල් අන්දායම් වසාදත් වූය. උදේ කඳවුරු හාත්පසු පිරිසිදුනේ වැඩි පිටුරු ඒ පිළිසිදුණු කල බලව හිම වැනි හීන් කුඩා වටවූ දෙයක් වනාන්තරයේ ගුණ පිට තිබුණේ. ඊශ්‍රායෙල් පුත්‍රයෝ දැක කිමෙක්දයි නොදැන මේ මොනවාද ඉතිරිකාට කිව්වෝ. එවිට මොසෙස් මේ වනාහි කෑමකින් ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ නුඹලා කිව්වා. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ අනතර තිබෙන දේ මේය. නුඹලා ඉතිරිකා තම තමා කන ප්‍රමාණය කන ප්‍රකාරයට එහි රැස් කරගනී. නුඹලාගේ ගණනේ හැටියට එකිනෙකා තම තමාගේ කුඩාරමේ සිටින්නක්ට එකිනෙකාට ඔමේරයක් බැගින් ගණිතායයි කිව්වේ. ඊශ්‍රායෙල් පුත්‍රයෝ එසේ කොට සමහරෙක් කඩියෙන්ද සමහරෙක් කඩියෙන්ද රැස්කර ගත්තේ. ඔවුන් ඔමේරයන් නිර්මකී මේ වැන්න කල බොහෝ රැස්කර ගණන්තාට වැඩි වනු තිබුණේය. ටික රැස්කර ගණන්තාට අඩුවනු තිබුණේය. එකිනෙකා තම තමා කන ප්‍රමාණයට එකතු කළේය. මෝසෙස් කිසි කෙනෙක් පසුවදා උදේ දක්වා එයින් සිදුක නොකිරේවායි. එසේ මේ නොමුත් ඔවුන් මෝසෙස් සමුකන් නොදී සමහරෙක් පසුවදා උදේ වනතුරු එයින් සිදුක ඒ පනුවන් හැටි දුර්ගන්ධනීය මෝසෙස් ඔවුන් කෙරෙහි කෝපවෙයි. ඔවුන් එකිනෙකා තම තමා කන ප්‍රමාණයට උදෙන් උදේ රැස් කර ගන්නේ. අවුරු තත්වූට එදී ගියේ. හවන හවිලි දවසේදී ඔවුන් එකිනෙකාට ඔමෙර දෙකක් බැගින් දෙකුණයක් රැස් කර ගත්තේ. සභාවේ සේවාධිපති වූ මොසෙස් සේවාව කියනවා. ඔහුද ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ කී කාරණේ මේ. දෙක දවස ගරුණය කුණුවාඩුවා. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට සුද්ධ සබතා. පුරුස්සලදේ පුරුස්සා ගනිලා. තම්බලදේ තම්බා ගනිලා. ඉතුරුව තිබෙන සියල්ල පසුවදා උදේ දක්වා තිබෙන්ට නුඹලාලන් තබා ගනිලා. ඒ ඔවුන්ට කීවේ. ඔහු මොසෙස් කී ලෙස පසුවදා උදේ වනතු වේවා තබා ගත්තොය. ඒවා දුර්ගන්ධ නොවිය. ඒ කිසි පණ්ඩුවෙක්ද නොවිය. මොසෙස් අද ඒවා කාපල්ල. මක්නිසාද අද ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේට පවත්වන සබතය. අද ඒවා කෙතරි සමුලවන්නේය. සදවසක් ඒවා රැස්කර ගනිය. එහෙත් සත්විදි දවස සබතය. ඒ දවසේ ඒ කිසිවක් මුතු වේලේ කිව්වේ. තමන් සෙනගාතරින් සමුලව සත්විදි දවසේ රැස්කර ගන්න පිටත දීමුද කිසිවක් නොලැබේ. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ මොසෙස්ට කතා කොට නුඹලා මාගේ ආඥාද පිළවස්තර පවස්සන්ට කොපමණ කල අපේතුව සිටිනවාද බලාපල්ල. ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ නුඹලාට සබත් දවස දුන්සේ. එබැවින් උන්වහන්සේ සවින් දවසේදී දෙදවසක ආහාර නුඹලාට දෙනසේ. එකිනෙකා තම තමාගේ ස්ථානයේ නැගී සිටිනු මිස සතුන් දවසේ තමාගේ ඉඩමින් කිසිවෙක් නොවේවායි කීසේ. මෙසේ සෙනඟ සතුන් දවසේ නිවාඩු ගත්තෝය. ඊශ්‍රායෙල් වංශයේ වට මල්නායම් නාමයේ තිබුණේ. ඒවා කොත්ත මල්ලියට සමානය. සුදුය. එහි රස මීන් වැනි මිශ්‍ර භූතූපමය. මොසෙස් කියන්නේ ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ අනතල දේ මේය. මා විසින් මිශ්‍ර දේශයෙන් නුඹලාගෙන කල්හි වනාන්තරයේදී නුඹලා පෝෂණය කළ ආහාර නුඹලාගේ පරම්පරාවලය දකින පිණිස
much in here. Miracle bread from heaven. Now, over a million people are hungry. And now in this situation, God is setting up and arranging provision for His people. Is there any need for them to get manna while they're in Egypt? No. There's no need to get manna in Egypt. The provision of God comes when you are on the way with Christ, when you're on step with the Spirit of God. It's not there when you're in lockstep with the world. So there's an important principle for everyone to understand always, that when you're in step with the Spirit of God, you're in step with also where His provision is. Okay, this is very interesting bread. It shows up in the morning. You have to get there before the sun rises, because the sunrise will melt it. Each person would gather, is actually, person would have about 2 liters per day. Because an ephah is about 5 gallons, and so a tenth of a part is like half a gallon, so it's about 2 liters. Okay, every day it's there. On the seventh day, it's not there. And then again, it's there again for 6 days. If you tried to keep it overnight, it would rot. But on the sixth day, twice as much showed up. You're supposed to keep it overnight, because, and then it doesn't rot. It wasn't there before, now it's here. And in the midst of this, in the midst of this provision, God says to Moses, and He instructs the people, don't save it overnight. You've got a miracle from God, and yet people, they still don't trust God in the middle of the miracle. And they save it, and the very thing that one day was a blessing to them, the next day it stinks and it's rotting in their tents. There's many, many people that have held on to the blessing of God, disobeying His voice. That which was a blessing today, it stinks. There's another spot where he says, don't go out on the seventh day, there's nothing there. But they get up really quickly. Moses doesn't know what he's talking about. Every day it's there, I'm going, it's not here. And then again, what's the word? You weren't supposed to go. We learn some things about the provision of God. God can make it last for one extra day. He can make it show up and He can make it go away. We've seen with the children when they were the feeding of the 5,000, He can multiply what you have. He can rain it down from heaven. He can make water come out of the rock. He can put fish in your nets if you just toss it on the right side of the boat. If you lose the axe off the end of your axe, He can make it float. God takes care of His people. But there's an expectation for those that are called by His name to obey the voice of the Spirit. So when He says left, you go left. When He says right, you go right. When He says stay inside, you stay inside. When He says get out and go, you get out and go. You learn the voice of the Spirit of God. If the angel of death was crossing over the land of Egypt, do you go outside to take a look and see what's going on? No. But the next day God says, get out of Egypt now. Go, it's time to go. Learn the voice of the Spirit of God and learn to obey Him for yourself. People wonder about the provision of God. The provision of God comes when you're in step with the Spirit of God. And God will be miraculous with His people, even in the middle of the wilderness, if you are in step with what He's saying and doing. Okay, just for your reference, for those that are taking notes, Genesis 41, 25 through 41, Acts chapter 11, 28 through 30. I'll say it again. Genesis 41, 25 through 41, Acts chapter 11, 28 through 30. One is the story of Joseph before Pharaoh. The other is God speaking through Agabus to the early church. Agabus, a prophet in the early church. In either case, there was a famine coming on the world. Did they pray away the famine? Here comes a famine on the world. God gives Pharaoh a dream, shows him what's going to happen. God gives Agabus a prophetic word for the early church in Acts chapter 11, verse 28. Do they pray away the famine? Oh God, You showed us that there's this famine coming on the world, and right now in Jesus' name, we pray that this famine doesn't happen. In Jesus' name, we get the big yes. Because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to have to deal with a problem. No, you know, actually, the world and the world that God has designed moves in cycles. Hours in a day, 7 days in a week, cycle of a month, cycle of a year, 50 years jubilee, 1,000 year cycles. So cycle, out, out, out. God works like this. And if you can understand by the Spirit of God the cycles of God, you can also be in step with where God is right now. So if you don't understand, what you do is if you try to do things always the way you did, you swim against the current. When it's going one way, you're going the other. So for example, I told you one time what in America they tried to put $700 billion into trying to save the U.S. Economy. But not a single person in that plan has the Spirit of God in them. And so they're trying to put all of that effort against the current. Even Pharaoh had the intelligence to realize that though I don't have a solution, here's one with the Spirit of God in him. Let me give him charge, because if he does the job, this nation will be saved. Even the pagan kings of the past had the sense in their head to realize when trouble was coming, let the children of God do what they do, because God desires to spare human life. But we've moved into a time right now where man in his arrogance feels that he can fix his own problem. Man in his arrogance believes that with his own resources, his own intelligence, everything that he has to bear today, all of his technology, all of his friends, that he can fix his problems. Okay, go ahead, you fix it. Just watch. You watch with your eyes and see for yourself what happens with man's system 6 months, 8 months, 10 months from now. Mark this day right now and then look at what man does to himself 9 months from now. If there was a world leader with sense today, he would search for a man with the Spirit of God and give him charge over the affairs of his nation. They would bow their knees before God himself and say, Lord, we are sunk, we don't have a solution, please help us. What does Psalm 2 and Psalm 149 say? To the rulers of the world, the princes of the world, kiss the Son, lest he be angered and you be destroyed in his wrath. Here, let's go there. Psalm 2. Let's go there really quick. Psalm Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves as the rulers, take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, all ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way. When His wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in Him. Go from 10 through 12. So the scriptures admonish them, be wise, you kings. Pharaoh, a pagan king, was still wise. We live in a time where the kings of the earth are not wise. But you have to be pretty foolish to serve and slave for the devil. So now it will come to bear. Man will receive, he will reap what he sows. And during the days though of the early church as well, when there was a famine, God gave instruction to His people. He showed them. And what did they do? God still arranged within the people of God for the provision and the protection of His people. And God will do that this day. Okay. God speaks to those with the responsibility and the ability to do something about it. So He gives the word, He gives the dream to Pharaoh. And God gives the word to Agabus for the church. And I've seen throughout that God's provision works, again, like circles, God's provision works on different levels as well. It can work with the life of the individual. It can work. Now, okay, this is based on your willingness within the authority structure of God that God has put in place as you're yielded to the Spirit of God. Okay? So it's based on somebody's yielding to the Spirit of God. The individual. The family. The organization. The town, the city. The nation. Do you see with the famine that came on Egypt, when someone was given that responsibility, that within the authority structure that was there, and they were put in charge and they were yielded and willing unto the Spirit of God, how the provision of God flowed through for the whole nation? But in the time when that is kept out, when the people of God are pushed out, are marginalized, are pushed to the side, what happens?
දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ දරුවන්ව යම් කිසි විදිහට සීමා කරලා නැත්නම් පැත්තකට තල්ලු කරලා දාන වෙලාවකට එතකොට මොකද වෙන්නේ?
Okay, God still takes care of his own.
නමුත් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ එයාගේ දරුවෝ කොහොමදත් බලා ගන්නවා?
You see throughout scriptures God still takes care of his own.
අපි මේ වචනේ තුල පේනවා දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ දරුවන් දෙවියන්ව කොහොමද බලා ගන්නවා?
Whether it's Elijah at a brook and just him singularly getting fed every day, God will still take care of his own.
එලියාට කොහොමද දෙවියන් වහන්සේ තනියම පුද්ගලෙක් හැටියට දෙවියන් වහන්සේ සැපේ වේ විදිහට දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ සෙනඟව දෙවියන් වහන්සේ කොහොමද බලා ගන්නවා?
But the people suffer, the nations suffer.
නමුත් මිනිස්සු දුක් විඳිනවා.
In a family, if you have a righteous family, if you have a righteous father, a righteous dad in the home, the whole family is blessed. If you have a righteous governor, if you have a righteous a mayor of a city, the whole city is blessed. But when wickedness presides over a place, the people suffer when the seasons change. So the best thing for the people, if the people of the world had any sense at all, they would cry out for God. And even if Pharaoh didn't know and didn't want to serve God, he would still put someone there that did, because that's where the answer is. But unfortunately, that's not the world that you live in today, and so you will see many, many, many people suffer unnecessarily. There were times for provision and there were times for making preparation. Joseph did that for the land of Egypt. And when the 7 years was up, they were ready for the next years. But now understand, for the people of God, again, this is a very real principle. God will give you the need when it's needed. If you walk in step with the Spirit of God, what you need will be there when you need it. And if you don't have it, you don't need it. You realize that? If the children of Israel tried to take food for 40 years in the desert, they wouldn't have been able to leave Egypt, they wouldn't have been able to walk. God gave them the need that they had daily. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. What you need will be there. So now we live in a very isolated age when it comes to the people of God. This is a time where, if you were to compare the people of God to an animal at this time, we would be eagles. We would be eagles in this time. We soar above the storms. We see far in the Spirit. And one verse, Matthew 24, verse 28, which is, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered," speaking of the end of the age.
Then,
The eagle eats the fresh meat. So wherever the fresh meat of the Word of God is, there the people of God will be gathered around that. And it's not within the structures of man, because we flow with the Spirit of God. But it is where the Spirit of God would lead and guide us this day. This is a very, very exciting time for the people of God. So be encouraged. And my time is up. So I have to stop there.